In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Today's gospel lesson begins at the evening of the day. The day, if we think about it, or if we go back and read chapter 9 of Matthew's gospel, the day began with Jesus coming back across the Lake of Galilee. He was in the land of the Gadarenes, and he exorcised the man who was possessed by a demon. Now he's come back across the lake at the beginning of chapter 9. He's arrived back on shore. He begins to walk back through the town. He finds a man, Matthew, the tax collector, sitting at his post, and the Lord calls him. And Matthew gets up, and he begins to immediately follow the Lord. And a little later, Matthew is having a banquet, a feast in his home for the Lord. And with him and Matthew are all these tax collectors and sinners. And that's actually an image of the heavenly banquet. All these people who have been brought into the Lord's household. And then while they're having this feast, a man by the name of Jairus comes and he says, "Lord, my daughter is gravely sick. Would you come and heal her?" And the Lord leaves the house, and on his way, there's a whole throng of people around him. And in particular, one woman reaches out. She's hemorrhaging of blood. She reaches out, touches his garment, and she's immediately healed. And then our Lord makes his way into the house of Jairus, where he finds weeping and sadness. The daughter of Jairus has died, they tell the Lord. And the Lord responds, "She's not dead. She's fallen asleep." And he goes in and he raises her from her sleep, which is a kind of death. Big long day. And now our Lord is going back to the house. And this is where today's gospel passage begins. He's on his way home to this house, and he is met by two blind men. Let's not miss the scene here. It's the evening. What happens in the evening? It's getting dark. You can't see. And here it is, two blind men, they can't see. And who's passing by but the one who is the light of the world? Almost like the sun passing through. And these two blind men sense this light. They can't see it yet, but they sense it. And they start clamoring and shouting out to the Lord that they might be able to see. So Matthew's using this event to teach you and me, to teach everyone that without the light of Jesus, you and I remain in darkness. You and I remain blind. In the church's liturgy at Vespers, every evening she sings that ancient hymn, "O gladsome or O joyful light." What are the first verses of this ancient hymn? "O joyful light of the holy glory of the Father immortal, heavenly, holy, blessed, Jesus Christ. Since we have come to this evening, to the setting of the sun, and have seen the evening light, we praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." O joyful light, the church every evening prays to the one who is the joyful light given to us by the Father in heaven. This light is the heavenly, holy, blessed light. And the church says, as we watch the sun setting, and while there will be physical darkness, the church says, but we've seen the evening light. It's Jesus the Christ. And as long as his light's shining, we will see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Similar then to the two blind men, every evening as darkness fills the land, the church directs her gaze toward the light that never dims, Jesus the Christ. And what brings these two men to the Lord? Shouting, clamoring, making a lot of noise. These two men are in need. And that's the common factor among all the followers of the light of the world. If you look at all these people in Matthew's gospel, every one of them that comes to the Lord is in want, in need of something. And the followers of Jesus the Christ stand in stark contrast to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they were self-reliant. They were self-satisfied. They were content in their own self-righteousness. They had no need of mercy. They were always ready to say, we have our laws. We have the commandments. We have morality. We have our temple rituals. The followers of Jesus the Christ, however, recognized their need. They were hungry. They were ignorant. They were alienated. They were in exile. They were lepers. They were paralytics. They were possessed by demons. They were encapsulated in fear. They're blind. There's deaf. In modern terms, they recognize their own brokenness, their own woundedness, their own poverty. And that's the continued revelation throughout the Gospel of Matthew. It's not the healthy that follow Jesus of Nazareth. It's those who are sick. It's not the righteous who follow Jesus. It's the sinner. Immersed in darkness, these two blind men come before the Lord, imploring that he have mercy on them. What a lesson for you and me. On the one hand, these men could not see physically, and yet on the other hand, they could see with the eyes of faith. Spiritual sight always must precede physical sight. If I don't have faith, I cannot see the world as it really is. If I don't have faith, I cannot see my neighbor as he or she really is. Without faith, the world really is a confusing, dark place, and the person without faith is really ignorant. And yet, these two blind men had to grope, had to stumble, and had to fall as they approach the incarnate light. Such is the way for you and me as we traverse on pilgrimage through this world toward the light, Jesus of Nazareth. The baptized faithful, you and I, recognize our needs. And we must not only be bold like those two blind men, but we also must be willing to stumble and to fall as we journey to the uncreated light. Is it incidental that there were two blind men? Not at all. I say this over and over any time I give a scripture course. 33 years of our Lord's life is packed into these short gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not mince words. They're succinct, but every word, and in fact almost every letter they choose, is giving a teaching. they're revealing divine truths. Two voices in unison are stronger than one voice. It makes for a clamor and thus a greater chance that this Lord is going to hear them. Such is the image of the church at prayer, at Orthros, at Vespers, at the Divine Liturgy, how many times the baptized faithful stand in unison, imploring repeatedly, "Lord, have mercy." And it's resounding throughout the entire world every time the church is praying, Orthros, Vespers, or Divine Liturgy. And in it, there's that earnest hope that God may have mercy. And then hearing that heartfelt cry of unison from these two blind men, the Lord enters the house, and he permits those two blind men to come in with him. A subtle and important detail. The house stands for the church. It's the household of Jesus. And those admitted into the house will be healed, just as these two blind men, their eyes, and the word Matthew uses is specific. It's in large letters, like he's drawing it out. Their eyes were made wide open. This is chapter 9. The only other time Matthew used that word was in chapter 1, or at the baptism, chapter 3, I think maybe, where as the Lord's being baptized, the sky is parted wide open. Hence, in the house of the Lord, he touches you and me through the divine mysteries. The Word incarnate touches you and me. To experience that power of his divine touch, the Lord asks the same question every time. He asks you and me that question in our own hearts. Do you believe I have the power to do this? That question seeks an act of faith. In other words, do you believe me to be who I say I am? Do you believe that I am the Son of David, which means I am the fulfillment of every promise God made to the people of Israel? Do you believe that I am the one sent to bring the great restoration? Do you believe that I can do all things? Do you believe that I am the incarnate bearer of all of God's promises? And to that, those two blind men, in spiritual sight faith, made the act of faith. "Yes, Lord." "Amen," they said. How do you and I respond to that same question? The act of faith is putting all of one's trust, energy, and confidence into the Lord by imploring, by confessing, by following, by assenting, by glorifying the light of the world. Otherwise, we will do what modern man has done to the stars. Each evening, as darkness encompasses the land, Modern man has found a way to block out the light of the stars. We can't see the constellations anymore because we've created artificial light. Similarly, that is what you and I do when you and I place more faith, more trust, more confidence in ourselves or in someone else or in something else rather than in the Lord. The irony is this. Only when we are immersed in darkness will we be able to see the uncreated light. Christ is among us.